Welcome one and all to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Iadarola, on a day where we have multiple exciting bits of news as well as multiple awesome guests. I'll tell you about some of that in a bit, but first we are joined and very lucky to be joined for the first time on the show by stand-up comedian as well as contributor to Rebel HQ, Ben Glebe. Welcome to The Damage Report.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Great to have you here. We've done a bunch of shows together before, but you've never been on The Damage Report, and so it's great to finally have you here. Thank you for taking the time out.
I am ready to be damaged. Let's do it.
Okay, I am going to destroy you with the news. but really fast, I'm sure basically everyone watching this is familiar with you. They've probably seen some of your amazing viral moments, such as with Charlie Kirk. But in terms of your work for Rebel HQ, I like to always give people an idea of sort of what our co-hosts are interested in. What would you consider like sort of your beat? What do you tend to talk about on Rebel HQ?
I tend to mostly focus. I mean, sometimes I need to cleanse my palate with a Karen video, and somehow it speaks to the state of the country that is palate cleansing. But I generally tend to speak about just Republican hypocrisy and trying to unwind the twisted brains of Trump supporters and figure a way to finally break through and explain how their minds are being brainwashed. I like to go Tucker Carlson point by point and disprove what the way that he twists his audience's brain with his monologues and have just a bunch of false premises and cognitive dissonance happening left and right. And I like to do that with a lot of Republican lawmakers too.
Nice. Well, you know what? We're going to give you an opportunity to demonstrate that live on the program today, because we got a lot to talk about. Not only some updates on the DOJ investigation of Mar-a-Lago, as well as some of the just buffoonish, amateurish attempts by the right wing to explain it away. We're going to have some fun responding to that. Sarah Palin back in the news, at least briefly, and I couldn't have picked a better reason for her to be in the news. And a whole lot more besides, including pasta news. That's coming up. I'm Italian, we're talking about pasta, get used to it. Then on the full show, in the aftermath, we're gonna be joined live by Representative Ro Khanna. Gonna break down a bunch of stuff there. And JK Rowling, she's written herself into a book, and I think it's absolutely hilarious. So in advance of that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, super chats, or anything like that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Ben, are you ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's talk. You know what? Let's start off by jumping into this video.
A lot of people think that when you walk into my office, I have confidential documents or whatever it may be, old declassified, but I had confidential documents spread out all over my floor. And like a slob, like I'm sitting there reading these documents all day long, or somebody else would be. It's so dishonest when you look at it. And so people were concerned because they said, gee, you know, that's a strange scene. You look at the floor and you see documents, right? They have cover sheets of documents. No, they put them there, John, and they put them there in a messy fashion. And then they took a picture and they released it to the public. And this is what we're dealing with these people.
Now, you knew coming out of the DOJ releasing that photo of the documents in Mar-a-Lago, we can actually go to that photo and you'll see it, that neither Trump nor his defenders were going to engage with the substance of it. The fact that it is proof that he stole many, many, many classified documents. We all knew that. But the idea that they're going to focus on, no, they're making it seem as if I'm a slob. They're making it seem as if I threw it on the floor is the weirdest thing to focus on. And he's not just doing it as a quick aside in the interview that you heard. He truthed about it, saying there seems to be confusion as to the picture where documents were sloppily thrown on the floor and then released photographically for the world to see, as if that's what the FBI found when they broke into my home. Wrong. They took them out of the curtains and spread them around the carpet, making it look like a big find for them. They dropped them, not me. Very deceiving. So that is okay. We have a lot of people watching this right now. There are thousands of you watching. If literally one of you saw that photo and thought that's how they found it, and furthermore thought that that's what makes it bad, feel free to send me a comment, because I don't believe there's a single person like that, Ben. Why is this what they're focusing on?
I'm your one guy, John. That was what I was concerned about when I heard that the former president stole top secret classified documents. I said, oh my God, I hope he kept them organized. And exactly. When I saw that photo, I immediately thought this is very bad for the country. Think about what our adversaries will think is that a Roomba could come up and just swallow our nuclear secrets. I mean, it's mind-boggling the reality that this guy twists, and now millions, tens of millions of Americans are saying it's unbelievable. The DOJ threw those documents on the floor and they're not admitting it, and it's a big cover up. It's a huge Swiffer cover up.
100%. I get it. Again, as you said in the intro, he's not going to like admit. He says in that video, it's like they're making it seem as if it's a big find. Well, okay, but pause there for 1 second. Isn't it, Trump? Come on. I mean, whether it's spread on the floor, whether it's on the duvet, whether you have it's scattered amongst the levels of a complex bookshelf, regardless of how you organize it in space or on what furniture, seems kind of big. I mean, those are definitely classified documents of the highest levels, and there's a lot of them. So I get why they'd want to skate by that part.
Yeah, and he skates right by in his statement on the audio clip that you played, which, by the way, he always loves to call an audio because A, he doesn't have to go through his intense makeup process, and B, you don't see him trying to grasp for straws. You don't see him going, oh, also, you don't get to see that part where he makes up the lies. But he skated right past a large part of what the concern is. Oh, people think that there's people just looking at the documents in my office. Yeah, that's part of the concern, is that random people visiting your golf club office are looking at top secret documents. And I talk about this in my Rebel video that comes out later today. Specifically, the news is still kind of running cover for him, so that the mainstream media, so that they can still make a story out of something that is black and white, bad, wrong, evil, illegal, against the country. They literally had a clip saying there still is no evidence whether Trump knew that the documents were there, although it should be noted, three of them were found in his desk drawers. So did they need to say that?
As if you know what's in your desk. I have so much stuff in there. It's in the desk because I don't need it. Basically, that's where you hide stuff.
True, that is true. Yeah. That's where you hide the stuff that you don't want people to know, but also it's not particularly secure situation. And like, I have my grandfather's desk behind me right here. It actually has two of the drawers can lock with a key. Trump didn't even say my drawers lock and I have the key. He didn't even have locks on these drawers. It's just loose drawers. Housekeeping's coming in at the end of the day, just dusting off nuclear secrets. That's the excitement.
Ooh, Iron Dome, interesting. But anyway, this is what they're gonna focus on. And honestly, as ridiculous as it is, we're gonna get to a couple of his defenders in right-wing media, and it's almost more pathetic there. But first, I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, that in Donald Trump's response to what the DOJ sent out, that photo of all the documents, he's focusing on I'm not a slob and all that. What they're not really responding to are the devastating legal claims made in that same filing. That photo was only one part of it, of course. The fact that the DOJ is saying they have new evidence of an attempt to obstruct the investigation, far more damaging. And interestingly, they're not responding to that part. They've got a few concerns. Attorneys for Trump, so there's the public facing part of this and then the more important behind the scenes part. Let's focus on that. Attorneys for Trump are accusing the Justice Department, quote, of a unjustified pursuit of criminalizing a former president's possession of personal and presidential records in a secure setting. Well, first of all, simply calling it a secure setting, don't make it a secure setting. That's not how that works. In the same way that simply saying you declassified stuff last year, don't make it so either. But also, they're not attempting to criminalize his possession of it. The law pre-criminalized it by the fact that it's illegal. That's how that works. If like I rob a bank and then they catch up to me, I can't then put out a tweet saying they're trying to criminalize me having all of your gold bullion. Like, that's not how that works. That's just what the law is, actually. They say that that the DOJ is twisting their prior request for a special master, wherein they wanted not the federal government to look at all these documents, but someone else, a retired judge, a goon, a lackey, whatever. The DOJ is saying there are national security interests in not doing that. Obviously, Trump doesn't like that. And they say, furthermore, left unchecked, the DOJ will impugn, leak, and publicize selective aspects of their investigation with no recourse for Trump, but to somehow trust the self-restraint of currently unchecked investigators. Now, look, to be fair, Donald Trump has requested multiple additional bits of information be made public. That was why Merrick Garland originally came out and had his press conference. That's why they came out with the affidavit eventually. Now we're actually seeing what they found. These are all things that in theory Trump was saying he wanted to happen. But as soon as every one of them was done, suddenly it was a terrible thing that never should have happened. And so I get why they're a bit gun shy about more evidence coming out, because it's evidence of so much sheer willful illegality. But Ben, what do you think?
Well, I don't understand possibly why, even if somebody ideologically is aligned with Trump, why they would still be defending him at this point, when you see that the moment he's in any sort of trouble, he not only throws every human under the bus that has been loyal to him, he throws full institutions under the bus. I mean, just that statement from his legal team instantly says that the FBI, DOJ no longer has any authority or respect whatsoever. They're a purely political organization. Oh, we're supposed to trust what? The Department of quote unquote justice? I mean, yeah, that's the institutions of our government. He would be in prison. He'd be saying, oh, we're supposed to trust that these bars aren't made of chocolate. And people are gonna be like, they're keeping him in bars made of chocolate. How is this to be taken seriously? I just hope we are around the corner from a day when he is in prison and finally gets that special master he's looking for.
Exactly, with or without chocolate bars.
That's right.
I'm fine with either. Donald Trump obviously is facing a lot of legal troubles. One thing that he might soon not have on his side when it comes to legal help is the money that the Republican National Committee had been pledging to him. In fact, it's already sort of started. They're saying now they are not going to be paying for his legal fees related to the FBI's investigation and retrieval of documents in Mar-a-Lago, to which I think most reasonable people would say, why would they? Why? What does that have to do with anything? Why would they pay for that? Well, that's a little bit naive, I guess, because the thing is, they have paid for his legal fees that have nothing to do with their operations. In December of last year, as of that time, the committee had already agreed to foot the bill for around $1.6 million in legal fees. Over 100 grand of that relates to two criminal probes, one in Manhattan, one by the New York District Attorney's Office. So I guess you could reasonably expect that they will continue to pay for your legal fees, even though these are crimes you chose to commit. They're crimes that don't have anything to do with the RNC as far as we can see. And the dude doing the criming is, at least according to him, a literal billionaire. So why he would need that help when the cost of that legal assistance is akin to what I could dig out of my pockets at any given second, I don't know. But I'm not a super rich, powerful person. There are very different standards for their behavior. Now, they also say, Ben, that if he declares that he's running for president, they're gonna cut off all of their legal assistance because they have to be neutral during a primary. He hasn't announced yet, and he definitely wants to, but there will be a financial hit if he does. Do you think that that might influence him at all in terms of when he declares his presidency?
I do. I think this is one of the only hopeful signs that we have that can maybe persuade this orange monster to not value the extra press attention and people talking about him over perhaps a financial hit when he's not solvent like he claims to be, and when he's losing a lot of his supporters, not only in the conservative media, but also in Congress, the RNC itself turning its back on him. I think maybe he'll realize this might be more trouble than it's worth. Alex Jones even is now in love with DeSantis, and that's gotta be a little scary for him. I think that hopefully will be affecting his calculus to some degree, but I think that it does to some degree make sense why the RNC has been paying his legal fees, because while they didn't commit these crimes with him, they're definitely aiding and abetting him, because they have been supporting him at every turn and defending his actions at every turn, even everything beyond the pale. I mean, we thought it was bad enough during 4 years of racism and anti-Semitism and bigotry and homophobia and just flouting every single tradition, every single aspect of what made our country kind of different from banana republics around the world in times gone by. And Suddenly now he then tries to overthrow his own government, not certify an election, still standing by him. They are part of it. So it kind of behooves them to pay it up until this point, at least, because they realize, well, the faster we can make this go away, the better it is for our guy that we support tooth and nail. So I think that it's probably the reason they've been doing it, is because it just kind of makes the problems go away quicker. But there's a limit, even for people who have no limit and no bottom, and aid and abed a traitor to our nation.
Exactly. Yeah. And they could use that money. I'm sure Dr. Oz could use a little bit of support. Like, there's other stuff they can spend on.
They're starting to finally look forward as far as the money that they're realizing there's a limited coffer, even to the incredible grift that they have, that they constantly execute on their own followers. They need to figure it out a little bit, maybe like Liz Cheney saw the tea leaves and decided, even though I'm down by an enormous amount in this upcoming election, I'm going to save half of what I've raised for whatever's next. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a better use of the money. Jeanine Pirro has two obligations on a daily basis. One is to defend Donald Trump, and the other is to maintain a blood alcohol level above 10%. In the video we're about to show you, she is going to achieve that first. Let's look.
It all gave the DOJ exactly what they wanted. Have Trump look like a sloppy criminal who was just mishandling top secret documents. And it made the DOJ look like the good guys for raiding Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I'm as much of a fan of simply stating facts as anyone. She said all that stuff as if it wasn't true. But hold up, Jeanine Pirro, I understand that you're gazing at the news through a haze of Sauvignon Blanc. But did make him look like a sloppy criminal, not physically sloppy, not because the papers were on the floor. Nobody thinks that. Shut up about that stuff. But it was sloppy to commit the crime so much, to do it so blatantly, to just leave them in an unsecured place. And does it make the DOJ look a little bit like they were justified in raiding him when they found the evidence of literally hundreds of crimes? Yes, it very much does. So if you're gonna want to distract from the substance of this, if you're gonna win over people, you're gonna need to come with a little bit stronger evidence than just recounting what actually happened, but implying that it's not a bad thing. But that said, before we jump into our discussion, there is a little bit more to her theory, her attempt to distract. Listen to this.
If you're not convinced this is just another witch hunt, well, new reports say the DOJ is waiting past the midterms to reveal any Trump charges. This is a blatantly political move. The DOJ has a policy of not bringing charges against political figures so close to an election. But they don't have to charge Trump in order to affect the election. The simple act of raiding the former president's home casts a major shadow over the Republican Party. Less than 3 months before the midterms.
God, our show is bad and she's so bad at delivering this stuff. But so they're not going to bring charges before the election. And that is proof of them being political. As if, Ben, were they to bring the charges forward before the election, she'd be satisfied with that. There is literally nothing they can do that's gonna satisfy her. Every move they make is going to be obvious proof that they're being partisan. But what do you think?
Yeah, it's incredible how they always want it both ways. She ended her little speech. I typed down this quote. She said, and I quote, "I remember when Democrats cried foul when it comes to opening up an investigation right before an election." Right. So that investigation played a large part in Hillary losing. And all of them said that it was totally fine. And so if it was right then turnaround has to be fair play, and it's got to be right now. What's fair for one side has to be fair for the other. So, and they're not even opening, and they're not even bringing charges before the election. She literally says it both ways, and you're so right about her poor delivery. And that's the real power of great satire. Is all I see is Cecily Strong now on SNL doing, "We're back here with Justice with Jeanine." You really hear the extra drunkenness of her trying to focus beyond that. But every quote she says on that whole rant on her show generally, but on that whole rant was literally just stating facts and doing it with a little bit of indignation in her voice. Another quote, she said, "The simple act of raiding the former president's home casts a major shadow over the Republican Party less than 3 months before the midterms." Yes, because the Republican Party has aided and abetted Trump at every turn. You're going to be cast a shadow upon based on the actions you decide to take.
Yes.
They're a party. They don't have to be beholden to one person. They choose to do that. So basically, she could have also just said, "The simple act of raiding the former president means, we probably should have second guessed our support of him, but too late."
Yeah, if they ditched him following January 6th, he still would have stole the documents, but it wouldn't hurt the Republican Party nearly as much. But they've decided to hug him. Thus, when he slips below the surface of the ocean, you're gonna get wet. That's how that works.
Yeah. And still now, they could say still now, okay, this is a little bit too much. There's government secrets there. We don't want a shadow cast over the Republican Party. So this is too much. We're gonna support DeSantis or whatever other bad person who's just not quite as outlandishly bad at this point as Trump. And then you're good. You're good for a couple of years until he goes off the deep end. But they're choosing to make the bed that they're sleeping in.
I agree with you on that. And also, I miss Cecily Strong too.
Oh,
I
want that. So fun.
But anyway, let's jump into something even more deranged. Because again, when the right sends their commentators, they're not sending their best. Let's jump into this video, Charlie Kirk.
Of the Department of Justice that just released a filing of a picture of documents from Mar-a-Lago seemingly just kind of spread all across the floor. And if you look a level deeper into this photo, let's put the photo up on screen. It is very clear that our prediction on Monday is becoming true. This is the Department of Justice sending a clear and obvious and intentional message towards Donald Trump and his allies and towards you.
Oh my God. I mean, look, I've been kind of mean to Charlie Kirk in the past, and I've implied that he's not necessarily the smartest person, but he apparently has identified something in that photo that everyone has missed. Certainly I missed in our coverage yesterday. What is this message that the DOJ is trying to send? Well, hold on to your butts. He's going to describe.
What is it in this picture exactly? Well, the administrative state posts this picture of documents all across the floor. Nothing necessarily telling there, but there's two big things. And you have to look a level deeper for there. The first of which is an intentional placement of a Time magazine cover. Now, look, they knew that this was going to go viral. They knew that this was going to be examined through every single way. Put a picture of the Time magazine cover up on screen. Picture of Donald Trump with all the Democrat candidates looking outside of the window. And it says, "Knock, knock." This is back from March of 2019. Get it? Knock, knock. Like we're knocking on your door on home. No mistake that was put in there. Now, this is not for the purpose of the judge. This is simply and solely for a public relations move. This was designed with the sole intent to try to chill dissent. It's so smug, it's so arrogant, the FBI no longer even tries to hide their political bias. And I'm gonna say this again, they're going for it. They're going for an indictment of Donald Trump.
Okay, so I have heard Charlie Kirk's theory, and to quote Bud Bundy, the plot thins. He said he was gonna look deeper into the photo. I think he got shallower, actually. That is a stretch beyond the capacity of Mr. Fantastic. So they put it there to send a message. Well, first of all, Trump put the Time magazine there, I guess. He's the one who decided to hold on to that. If it's so ominous that it's sending a message, why did Trump hold on to it? And if you're gonna send a message with that photo, shouldn't you choose something that's actually discernible with human eyes? I could barely make out the knock knock once he zoomed in on the photo. Like once he got a photo of it, no one looking at that photo even knew what cover it was, let alone tracked it down to then see the text on the side, to then make the metaphoric jump to say, "Hey, that's sort of threatening in a meta way." And again, it's one that Trump himself held on to. That is, I understand that there's a lot of weird substances coursing through Charlie Kirk's veins as he says that stuff, but that is such a leap, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, don't be mean to Charlie Kirk. I don't know why you'd ever do that. He deserves a little bit of leeway being that he is part dolphin. I don't know if you're aware of that. You can't expect a non-human to have human emotions. I do think, again, it's ridiculous. He's focusing on the documents being spread on the floor and then shifts to the box. But I will grant him actually one point. I do think that they obviously framed in the photo the box of picture frames from Time Magazine. And you'd have to assume they didn't put that one in the front. But if they even saw it in the front, I might have put that one in the back just because, yeah, you can't see it clearly in the photo, but these conspiracy theorists will dissect it. And you know that they're going to find out that it was the cover that said knock, knock with all these forces closing in on Trump. It does seem to a little bit send a weird message to those looking for one. And anything, like the reason they released this photo was to kind of cut off at the head any of these conspiracy theories saying, oh, they planted, yeah. Oh, they weren't real documents, so they're showing them. Oh, it wasn't obviously secret documents. Well, there's a huge red font and 60 size font saying classified, saying top secret. Does that prove it? So it's going to be poured over. Showing that, I think, was unfortunately, they have to a little bit think, not politically, but strategically with what they're showing, because these people are such bad actors that they're going to take anything and use it as an example to discredit. And so you have to maybe say, let's not have the Time Magazine in this one photo we're releasing. It does unnecessarily, I think, to a degree, open a can of worms.
I bet you could do a segment where you take random Time Magazine covers and come up with some conspiracy theory that the cover could be sending a message of. I bet you could do that.
Oh, for sure. That is true, for sure.
In the future, though, just to be safe, DOJ, don't embed any photos, even small, even out of focus, of Time Magazine covers. Just put a small out of focus picture of a dolphin fetus.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes. But it also shows, though, the fact that Trump kept that in a frame in his office proves yet again how this person and so many in the Republican Party are just in it for the likes, are just in it for the fame, are just in it for the power. A magazine cover about the forces trying to take down a man who was offending so many of our norms and our laws that the state was closing in on him. And he's proud of it and put it in a gold colored frame, because we all know it's not real gold. Tells you all you need to know. It's just like the other day, even when Ann Coulter launched her new podcast and said she's finally leaving Trump and it's fine for the Republican Party to leave Trump. She kind of betrayed her own true intentions by saying, look, I even got bored with politics, with Jan 6 and everything. But when the whole world started to go to hell and Biden's poll numbers dropped, then it got fun.
Yeah.
These people are in it for the game, for the fun. They're nihilists that like seeing the world burn. And it is so uncool. It's just obvious there's one side that's trying to do good and move the country forward, and one side that's just in it for themselves.
Yeah, 100%. Well, with that said, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got updates on Sarah Palin's bid to get back into government. We'll let you know how that went after this. Okay, everybody, more news to get to in just a sec. By the way, if you're new to the stream, be sure to hit that like button before proceeding. First, though, Ben, you've got a section of your upcoming special, right? Your new special?
Yeah, my new special actually just dropped. It is live on YouTube right now. It's called The Mad King. I'm pretty excited about it. I've been working on, my first special was 6 years ago on Showtime. And this one, I wanted to drop it on YouTube so it could be easily seen, shared by every single person, not behind a paywall. So it's called The Mad King, and I hope people watch it and share it if you like it. I think you have a clip.
Yeah, actually, why don't we go to that now?
Love it. Pandemic, it's almost over. But maybe not. But it could be, but we don't know. There's a chance that it might be, or it might not be. It's over, but almost over, but not really, but it's still going strong. It's surging, but it's a weaker surge. It's a weaker surge, but affecting more. It's affecting more, but it's affecting them less. It's affecting less people in a more intense way, and more people in a less intense way. It could be done, but it's not done. It's important to get vaccinated, but if you do, you also gotta get boosted. Until the booster wears off, and you gotta get another booster, in which case you might still get it. You probably will still get it. You'll definitely get it, but if you're not boosted, you're gonna get it less or more. And then if you're not at all vaccinated, oh, you're going to get it. And it's going to be worse. But for some people, it's still going to be worse. But not as many people will it be bad for. So I'm glad 2 years in, we finally got a handle on it. Glad we got it figured out.
I love it.
That's it right there. I mean, we're living in a confusing time and we're trying to make sense of it in the best way we can. So we have to laugh at all the madness sometimes.
Yeah, no, that like perfectly sums up people's psychological experience over the course of 2 years. I do a pre-show to the Damage Report every day and we go over the numbers pretty much on a daily basis to see where things are going. And yeah, it is impossible to know what to expect, that the numbers are down from where they were, and that's a good thing, but they're still at like 100,000 cases and 500 people dying, which is worse than various points we were at along the way where we were far more scared than we are now. It's a confusing time.
I was thinking that exact thing last night because they just all of a sudden mentioned the death numbers again on the news. And I'm like, I haven't even heard numbers. I didn't even know we were still at 500 a day or anywhere near that. So it's just, you always have to keep your eye on what media narratives are being sent out there. It's a very dangerous, scary, infectious disease only when there's no other news stories.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons we try to go to the numbers pretty much every day. Well, anyway, that's available on YouTube. Actually, I just saw a comment from Don M, a member, who said, I saw Ben's YouTube special and thought it was awesome.
Thank you so much.
Strong word of support from the audience there. Everyone go check it out.
What was it in all caps? Was it awesome in all caps?
It wasn't, but I felt like the subtext was there.
Okay. Anyway. Was there an exclamation point? Anything?
Actually, if you do all caps in those, it might block the message. So people might have learned not to use all caps, actually.
I feel better about that. Good. Thank you.
There you go. Everyone go check it out. Okay, with that, lots more news to get to. Why don't we jump into this?
I am ruined in Alaska.
Honestly, I could play that over and over. I could read the headlines over and over. Sarah Palin on the cusp of returning to government and relevance runs up against a big brick wall of people not liking her or respecting her or wanting her to be around. Take a look at this. It's the results of Alaska's special election, which happened last night. And Sarah Palin, in her attempt to enter the House, has failed, being defeated by Mary Peltola. That was a major upset for a variety of reasons. So first of all, it's because Alaska voted for Trump by 10 points in 2020. Also, because Mary Peltola will be the first Native Alaskan ever elected to Congress. In fact, you can see a photo of Mary right here. So all that is historic. Also, the first Democrat to represent the seat in nearly half a century. Republican Don Young held it from 1973 until, well, I guess, you know, right now-ish. And so Sarah Palin didn't just lose. Sarah Palin finally accomplished what she's always wanted, to make political history by being so despised by the people of Alaska that they allowed a Democrat to take over. That is amazing, Ben, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the people of Alaska are sending a strong message. They were okay with her about a decade or two ago being in charge of stuff involving fish, wildlife. That's about it. When it comes to actual legislation that will be setting the future of the country, I thought it was maybe a little bit above her pay grade.
Exactly, yeah. The fish is okay, maybe cutting checks back to the people from that oil sovereignty fund, but actually going and individually representing the state in Congress, that would just be embarrassing. Even in a time of Marjorie Greene and Lauren Boebert, there is a line that must be drawn.
Yes, that's the most incredible part. They literally said, look, Sarah, we're looking out for you. We just want you to be able to still be in Alaska so you can always be helicoptering over and shooting moose and whatnot. And it also just speaks so hilariously to Sarah Palin as a person, how much she jumped the shark so long ago that she used to be the governor of a state and then just basically became a trash talker and a fire starter for so long, and kind of the impetus of what started all of these like know nothings in their brains being able to come to power without truth, without any sense of knowing what you're talking about in any regard. And she sees, like you said, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, or Lauren Yogurt, as I like to call her, Go-Gurt, coming to power. And she thinks, oh, finally, it's time for me. Finally, there's a group in Congress now. I always thought Congress was a little too fancy for me. That's why I ran for vice president, because you don't have to do anything. But Congress, you got to actually read stuff. But now apparently you don't. You can just throw firebombs. And that's when she threw her hat into the ring, when literally the bar became so low that she was qualified for Congress and couldn't even cross her own bar.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a good result. Peltola, by the way, also campaigned in a way that I think can give people a little bit of hope for the midterms, campaigning on her support for abortion rights. Obviously, that's been really big, understandably so. Climate action, organized labor as well, and also tried to be a little bit less divisive in her tone than Sarah Palin. That's not difficult to do, but yeah, this continues a long streak of Democrats outperforming in these special elections. That is certainly good news. Interestingly, I was looking for some sort of comment coming out of this from Sarah Palin, but at least as of when I was producing this block, Sarah Palin hadn't tweeted anything since August 26th. I saw some sign that she might dispute the results of the election. I haven't seen that confirmed yet, so I don't want to tar her with that yet, but it's believable. But anyway, yeah, good news. I mean, look, we're just looking for any reason to feel a little bit of positivity towards our country right now. And rejecting Sarah Palin, I think, is one good cause for that.
Yes, and the fact that Peltola said at the end of her statement that she thinks respect is a fundamental part of working through things and getting it done. Every Republican heard that and they were like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. What does that exactly mean? And I pray she does not dispute the election. I'm so glad when Madison Cawthorn lost, he didn't dispute the election. That trend has to stop. And if it continues, obviously our democracy is going to be beyond repair very soon if we don't figure a way to nip that in the butt as soon as possible. But the hypocrisy from these Republicans when it comes to election integrity and actually respecting results is just so funny. Like, take that Charlie Kirk clip that you played, and he even went off more about that in the full clip, but he says, these unelected branch of government, the fourth state, these bureaucrats that we don't know who they are or where they came from. If you're so against unelected people, you have to be for elections. You have to believe in elections. If you're not going to respect the results of elections, then your favorite thing should be bureaucrats that came out of nowhere that are unelected. You can't have both. You can't literally say we only trust people who are elected unless they don't win, in which case we're putting them in anyway.
Representative Ro Khanna is going to be joining us. Everyone stay tuned for the aftermath for that. But for now, why don't we jump into this? Around the country, Republicans are running from their prior hardcore opposition to reproductive rights, but some are having to grapple with the fact that they've made some statements quite recently that aren't going to be popular in a country reeling from Roe v. Wade being destroyed, and Dr. Oz is one of those. So he has said in the past, as a doctor, that he would never ban abortions. But back in May of this year, he was actually caught on a hot mic, and he had some interesting stuff to say about that. He says, I do believe life starts at conception, and I've said that multiple times. If life starts at conception, why do you care what age the heart starts beating at? It's still murder if you were to terminate a child, whether their heart's beating or not. And this is audio from a teletown hall that he had done. The Daily Beast was able to get it. It was held 1 week before the state's Republican primary. And so he had been asked about it. And so he's trying to not just win, but to beat other Republicans. He obviously didn't have the record of being like an absolute out of his mind right wing crazy. And so he was trying to reassure them, saying, no, it's murder. It's murder always. It doesn't matter about the heart. The second they're conceived, it's murder. And in a country that isn't feeling that, where people who have been this opposed to reproductive rights, this opposed to abortion have been losing, this probably isn't going to help him. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, it's incredible that a medical doctor said the sentence, it's murder, regardless of whether the heart is beating. Life is defined by, typically for human life, for living human beings, is the heart beating. When the heart flatlines, the person's dead. They go, oh my God, they're dead. So the heartbeat is kind of a key aspect of it, or at the point that I make in my special too, is that a lot of people may not know this, but I think pretty irrefutably proves that life at least doesn't begin at the moment of conception, is that for the first week or so after conception, they can remove an embryo and freeze it. And freeze it for decades. And then thaw it out and it can continue growing, something you cannot do with human beings. If that doesn't prove that it is not yet a full human life, I mean, just think how much easier parenting would be if you could put a child in a freezer when they misbehaved. Go in that freezer for 1 year to think about what you've done. I mean, if that doesn't prove it, nothing does. But Oz is just a, he's just a face. He's been a television doctor. If that doesn't tell you what you need to know, I have to find before the election, before the general, I did a sketch with Dr. Oz. He wanted to be a comedian for a minute before he decided to run for Congress. And I did a sketch where he basically plays my proctologist. It has me bend over a table. God. I have to find it because it could help tank him a little bit. So I will search through my phone.
Please, please find that. I've got to see that. I wanted to give you the response from Dr. Oz's opponent, John Fetterman, saying, Dr. Oz was caught on a hot mic saying he'd ban abortion, even in the cases of rape or incest. I've always been consistent. I'll fight as hard as I can to protect women's reproductive freedom and codify abortion rights in a federal law. The choice in this election is clear, and it's becoming clearer with every passing day. We'll see what happens. Polls can change, but yeah.
Yes, that sentence there, the middle sentence is the real key here. It's, I've always been consistent, says Fetterman. And when you see all these Republicans running from their stances, it just yet again ad nauseum to the barrels of evidence you have that they don't have beliefs. That's why Trump's their perfect mascot. They just choose what will wedge people. They only became pro-life in recent history because they were able to use that as an issue to wedge the country once segregation was no longer an issue they could win on. They just need something that can divide the populace, and they chose that. They were fervently against all forms of abortion until it affects their poll numbers, and suddenly they're flipping. If that doesn't prove that you're supporting a party that is of nothing, that believes in nothing, nothing will. You are a brain that perhaps also does not have any functioning synapses and maybe not even a beating heart.
Maybe. Okay, with that, we are going to have to go to our second break. When we come back, lots more important news to get to. Nobody go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few. Okay, and now we get into the serious stuff. Let's talk about this. Authorities are still investigating a bomb threat that was apparently called in Tuesday night to the Boston Children's Hospital. It has been the target of a harassment campaign from right-wing media, including libs of TikTok and others, for the fact that they provide gender-affirming care for trans youths. Now, we've warned that demonizing groups and individuals in this way, spreading conspiracy theories and misinformation about what they're doing, could lead to violence. But now we have the bomb threat. And I want you to take a look at what right-wing media is doing after the bomb threat. Take a look at how InfoWars tried to spin it.
They're abusing children and they're using the government in authoritarian, totalitarian ways. And we just sit here and take it because our Congress is so pathetic, our media is so pathetic. And quite frankly, the average American person is so pathetic. Sad truths. Sad truths. So they set themselves up at the victim. Bomb threat at Boston Children's Hospital was false alarm, police say. Oh, you don't say. They probably bomb threat themselves. Probably one of those liberal doctors that chops little kids' weenies off and chops little girls' breasts off. Probably one of those doctors that called in a fake bomb threat to say, see, I'm the victim. Now bring in more kids for me to slaughter. Bring in more kids for me to chop up. Bring in more kids for me to slice and dice. I'm a liberal and I'm here to slaughter your baby.
Okay, apparently he's jealous of Alex Jones, not only for his on-screen presence, but also the fact that he's facing multi-$100 million lawsuits. Don't worry, buddy, you'll get there. There was violent threats based on this misinformation. They deny that it's true while also reinforcing that you should want these people to die. You double down on the misinformation, you demonize, This is how stochastic terrorism actually works. And when it happens, whether at the threat level or eventually if they do bomb one of these hospitals, you will always have these commentators waiting in the wings to tell everyone that don't worry, it's not our side. They're probably killing themselves is what happened. But it isn't just InfoWars, by the way. Take a look at Tucker Carlson last night on Fox News.
So we brought you the saga of libs of TikTok, one of the most informative accounts on Twitter. And because it is so informative, it keeps getting banned. Libs of TikTok just proved that physicians are in fact castrating young people, minors, for no legitimate purpose whatsoever.
Okay, so informative. No, they're lying about what's actually happening at these hospitals. They're being banned because they're spreading willful misinformation repeatedly in violation of the publicly available terms of service on these platforms. But again, that's what he had to say yesterday. So in the same way that they continued to demonize the FBI after a psycho tried to murder FBI agents in Cincinnati, they follow up a bomb threat that libs of TikTok certainly helped inspire by doubling down and saying that day, yes, they're doing all of the things that the bomber wanted to stop. And so next time, Ben, is it gonna succeed? Is it just gonna be a threat or is it gonna be a real bomb? And if it does, what is Tucker Carlson gonna talk about in his show that night?
My God, he will immediately do the one monologue where he disavows any blame, or he says, that was a misinterpretation. Am I were to say, to claim possibly that we were at all encouraging this is a lie. It's a left-wing liberal lie when he was directly encouraging all of this animus towards people that are just providing medical care. It's a complete lie. This hospital does not provide any sort of hormone therapies. It does not provide any surgeries to anybody who's under 18. They literally do not do that. They just provide them counseling. They provide them medical appointments. They help just to guide them along their difficult journey through something that they are working through as young children. It is just a lie. It's a talking point. They don't have any legitimate things to run on or stand for. They have no policy positions they push forward. They just try to find wedge issues. And they pretend that these things are real. They're living in fantasy land.
Yeah, yeah, and they're living. They're creating a fantasy land. The people saying it. I don't know if they believe it. Tucker Carlson doesn't believe any of the stuff he's saying. The dude from InfoWars, does he? I don't know. He seems crazy and he seems dumb. He probably believes some of it. But they're working in lockstep. Whether they're establishment right wing media news like Fox News or if it's InfoWars, which likes to fancy itself being outsiders, they're doing the exact same thing. They have created a satanic panic from whole cloth, making up a new villain for right wingers to focus on. And why? Why would you spin insane theories of doctors being desperate to find kids to cut up? Well, because if you're a right winger and you're focusing on that, you're not focusing on the wealthy, you're not focusing on corporations, you're not focusing on the hundreds of billions of dollars that they stole from us during the pandemic. You're not focusing on all the ways that they're getting away with economic murder. You're instead focused on a doctor in Boston or an elementary school teacher in Missouri or whatever. It can be anyone and it will be someone new every day. They'll keep it interesting. They'll mix it up and they'll keep you frothing at the mouth because as long as you're doing that, you're not questioning why you keep falling farther and farther behind economically. That's
yes,
what they're doing, and they're doing it together.
Yes, that is so true. It's exactly right. They either create issues out of thin air that don't exist based on the tiny, like a kernel of something they heard that they now make the agenda of a hospital that is not true, or they'll say CRT, and in reality they're talking about like in one math word problem in one textbook they mentioned that there's a transgender person on a train going 60 miles an hour. They're indoctrinating our children. They're trying to hypnotize and brainwash and take away all gender. They're literally just trying to occasionally make people feel seen. Occasionally, they're just trying to occasionally mention the wrongs that our country has inflicted upon groups of people so that maybe we can stop that. That's all they're doing. No one's slicing, no one's dicing, and no better evidence than seeing Tucker Carlson texting every day with Alex Jones. You say this, I'll say that.
Exactly, exactly. And that is unfortunately all the time we have for our first hour. Thank you everyone on the linear platforms or on the podcast. For those of you watching live, we've got more to come, including Representative Ro Khanna. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.